Sequoia asks, what about GMO magnesium stearate from cottonseed oil, non-GMO from palm oil? You know, certainly you always want to opt for going non-GMO when you can. I mean, the best option is no stearates at all. The second best would be then, if you are going to use it, make sure that it's a non-GMO source. Make sure, because a lot of these are just hydrogenated. They're just not good for a person. And check with the company on how much. There's a supplement that I've used, one of my friends recommended to me, called Protandem. And I was like, well, I don't want to use it. It's in capsules, it's in tablets, and it has magnesium stearate in it. And we checked with the company, and it was just such a tiny, tiny, minute amount that I said, okay, it was just such a nice combination. I tried it anyway. But, you know, in many cases, it's just like if you're taking a whole bunch, if you've got somebody who's taking a whole bunch of, if you have somebody who's taking a whole bunch of supplements and there's magnesium stearate in all of them, it can be problematic. Plus, if they have irritable bowel and they're taking that much magnesium, it could be problematic too. I was surprised to see folic acid, Laura, listed in the Vitamin Mineral Rush. I guess that form of folic acid is okay. I was a little confused to see folic acid there synthetic on a whole food supplement. This is a great question, Laura, because a lot of the, for many years, we've just always called it folic acid, whether it was methyl, whether it was this, that, or the other thing. The food form is not going to be folic acid. The food form is going to be either folinic acid or methyl. It depends on, you know, the particular food. So the companies haven't all gotten the education from the nutrigenomics community to say, hey, don't put that on there. But indeed, if it's a whole food supplement, it's not going to be synthetic. So it's just a matter of not knowing. Sequoia said, problem is they don't normally state the source of their stearate. Absolutely. That's why I say to avoid them whenever you can. And there are some good companies that make products that don't have it. Pure Encapsulations doesn't. Seeking Health, for the most part, most of theirs don't. Thorne, for the most part, theirs don't. Premier Research Labs. So I always go for those labs first. And then, you know, if I have to put them on it, I will check with the company. What's the source of this stearic acid? And how much is in there by percentage of the product. So it's really just a matter of just taking, you know, taking it all. Or researching it all. Let's see. All right, so we'll get to see if there's any other questions typed in and then we can go to break. All right. How will an overdose of vitamin D manifest in the body? We'll talk about that when we do our vitamin D presentation. Okay, I think that's it. So what I have two hands up. Let me just do Tony and then Tracy. Let me open up your line. Excuse me while I find where I open up the line because I have too many screens open. All right, so I'm going to open up Tony and put her on and get the... Hi, Tony.
Hi, Dr. Marie. You actually already answered my question. It will be about the vitamin D. I understand we'll be addressing that in a future module.
Yep. Well, yeah, today in just a next coming up soon.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. And then Tracy.
Hi, Tracy. Hello, Dr. Marie, and hi, everyone. Hope you're having a Saturday.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. Of course it's good.
Thank you. We always appreciate your time. My question is, I don't remember, I'm driving right now, so I'm like trying to just focus on the road, but the two companies that merged together, and I can't remember what they are because I...
You mean the lab companies?
Genetic. There's two companies that merged together, and they do a lot with, they do a GI effect.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's Genova and Metametrics. Genova and Metametrics.
Right, Metametrics. Yeah, I knew it was like I said it's not Metagenic, but it's something. So I ordered a ion profile, which kind of looked at all the deficiencies that my son could have in terms of like vitamin and mineral. And I'm wondering, is there a different test so I could see what deficiencies that he has that I could order through you, or would that be like the best?
Yeah, I'm surprised. I thought they didn't do the ion test anymore. I'm confused because I think that ion was Metrics and Nutrival was Genova. And I'm not sure. Maybe they are the same tests. They just still have the separate names. But if it's the one that has the one that the Nutrival is the one that I mentioned here, the Nutrival has the organic acid. So it goes through all those pathways and you can see a lot of gut stuff there. You can see a lot of the gut bug toxins that they produce. You get neurotransmitter, you get vitamins, minerals, you get oxalates. It's a really, really good test. Plus, the Nutrival also does the fatty acids, so you know the inflammatory markers. It does amino acids. Mm-hmm. So I would do, I don't have time to do that right now, but I would look up the ion versus the Nutrival. Because I think they're right in the same process,
okay.
And make sure that they're the same, or that you know one doesn't have something that the other does. But I believe that it's the same. That's my understanding, but I could be wrong.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, I'm looking one more time to see. So Lynn just put up a link to the ion test. So you guys want to look at that on the break. I'll take a look at it on the break and compare it to the Nutrival. Yeah, so I'm not sure. Whoever viewer 85 is, put your name in, please, or tell me who you are. Who just asked the question, is she talking about Nutrival test called ion? Yeah, I'm not sure if the Nutrival test is also called ion. It used to be individualized... something nutrition was what ION stood for. And then Nutrival basically goes through, and it's Nutrival, like I had it on the slide. All right, so what I'm going to do, we'll have a break for 15 minutes. Give yourselves a chance to go outside, get some water, get something to drink if you want. And then what I'm going to do is I'm sure Stacy's finished with the next slides. I'll load those up. I'll get you copies. I'll get you links so that you can download them. And if there's any others for the next couple of presentations, I'll get those uploaded for you as well. So thanks and have a good break. Bye. All right. Laura, go ahead.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie.
Hi.
I'm wondering, we were talking about deficiency of vitamin A linked to softening of the cornea.
Yeah.
That be linked to like corneal abrasion issues as well?
Well, it could, you know. There are a lot of things that can cause corneal abrasions. Like if you wear hard contact lenses, that's going to cause it. But if you have softening of the retina, you're going to be much more prone to it. It's just going to be easier. Obviously, you know, somebody sticks something sharp in their eye, you're going to get corneal abrasions. But people who can't wear contact lenses at all may have actually softened corneas. It's a possibility.
And then I had one more question that I was curious about. Vitamin A with the infectious diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it like with an acute infection. Do you know if that would be helpful like with chronic infections like Epstein-Barr virus and herpes simplex virus and like viral infections as well?
It certainly can be. I haven't seen specific studies related to that. I mean, it could possibly be a factor in even Lyme disease. So I would say do some research and dig deeper to see if you can find specific studies. So like go to Google or go to Medline and type in vitamin A herpes, vitamin A Epstein-Barr, vitamin A Lyme disease, and just see if there's been any studies to suggest that it might be helpful. I can't see why it wouldn't, just because the effect it has on the immune system.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. That's helpful.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. All right, let's see what other things we have. If a vitamin A deficiency can be tied to iron deficiency, what would be the most accurate test to check for vitamin A status apart from observing signs and symptoms?
Yeah, I think that you just can do a vitamin A blood test. You can do the whole full SpectraCell thing or the NutriVal, which are much more expensive, or you can spend $50 and get a vitamin A if you just want to check the vitamin A. It's fairly accurate in the blood.
Great. So question was, on slide 17, I say lutein, lycopene, and zeaxanthin cannot be converted to retinol, so they don't have vitamin A activity. What do I mean by no vitamin A activity?
That's a good question. So beta carotene has beta carotene activity, so it actually has some activity and active participation in various pathways and in vision, et cetera, of its own. And it can be cleaved into two vitamin A's and have activity as vitamin A. With the zeaxanthin, the lutein, and the lycopene, they have functions of their own, you know, as antioxidants, as protective for the eyes, but they don't actually get converted to vitamin A, so they don't have specific vitamin A. So if you were to give, say you wanted to have a vitamin A activity on the immune system or in the bones or with relationship to iron, you can give beta carotene in high enough quantities if that person's converting and get beta vitamin A activity. No matter how much lutein, lycopene, or zeaxanthin you take, you're not going to get that immune system or iron function of the vitamin A from that. That's what I meant by that.
Okay. All right. Let's see. So there's a few other questions that have come in. And Beverly, thank you for polycythemia. That word was just blocking. Polycythemia and hemochromatosis are often confused. And we'll go into more of that when we do our iron talk in a couple of weeks. But polycythemia is actually excess number of red blood cells. So the blood gets thick. As you can imagine, there's a lot of implications for that when it comes to clotting and cardiovascular health when you have thick blood. Hemochromatosis is actually a buildup of iron, and it gets stored in the liver in the form of ferritin. So what you'll see in hemochromatosis is very high levels of ferritin. I mean, like super high. My brother has hemochromatosis. I'm a carrier for hemochromatosis, but I don't actually have it. But he has both genes for it. His ferritin levels will go up into 800 or 900s. He says when they bring it down for him and get it to be good, it's in the 200s. And really the ferritin should be around 50. Same thing with his iron levels. You know, it really should be between, say, 60 and 120. And his iron levels will go up in, you know, the multiple hundreds. So they work on bringing that down. So he has hemochromatosis. Now, polycythemia is where there's just too many of the red blood cells. So you're going to see high hematocrit and high red blood cell count. And so the blood gets thicker because the really much higher percentage of the blood is cells. So that's what I was trying to think about. Okay. Quick skin question. I'm on the phone. I don't know who you are, viewer 96. So if you just wrote, I have a skin question, I'm on the phone, please tell me your name. You still haven't put your name in, so. 96 is Sequoia, okay. All right, I'm opening you up. Hello, Sequoia.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
Hey, so you mentioned about AE or fatty acids being a problem in, I think it was goose flesh skin you were describing.
Right.
You mentioned about the skin, the raised buff.
Yes.
Skin. Hello?
Yes, I hear you. So what's the question?
Well, you mentioned about the raised bumps on the skin.
Yes.
You said it was connected to vitamin A, vitamin E, or fatty acids.
Right, that's correct.
Right, so how would you know what to give? Would you give a combination of that? Or?
Yeah, that's a good question. So what you want to look at is what does it look like? So if you take that like 5-page, 3-page, whatever it is, document that I've given you that lists all the different signs and symptoms, and you just go through and you circle all of their stuff on there. And if it shows up like it's predominantly like A is the symptoms that they've got, and they have really virtually nothing in the others, then it's probably the A. But you, what you might see is combinations of them. So you could do a test. You could do a SpectraCell test, or you could do one of the NutriVals or organic acids just to see if anything else shows up. NutriVal was probably the best because it shows the fatty acids as well. But that's an expensive test, and quite frankly, most people don't want to take it. So I would say that you would look at to see. So you would give, I would give, make sure that their diet's containing enough of these things, but I would probably give them all if I wasn't sure. First, I would go by their symptoms and their signs, and you could test, certainly test vitamin A. You can test vitamin E, but I've never really done it. And you can test fatty acids individually. You can go to the blood spot fatty acid test from Metametrics, or a more elaborate fatty acid test, and you can actually test them. So you could test them, you could go by signs and symptoms, or you could just give them insurance doses of each and play around with the doses until you get some response. Does that make sense?
What about giving something, yeah, what about giving something like cod liver oil or one of the fish oils?
Mm-hmm. Well, cod liver oil would have all of the above in it, right? It would have the A, it would have D. It wouldn't have the E so much. So if it was E, you might have to give a little extra E, but it definitely has the fatty acids. So that could be helpful as well.
Right, or something else like that that's got a few, you know, a few of them in it.
Exactly, exactly. And most of the time when people have that, it's just an overall nutritional problem. Usually you see that in kids who eat a lot of junk and they're picky, and you see it a lot in autistic kids and kids with ADD where their nutrient status is just way off. And a lot of times, just improving their diet helps it. You don't even need anything specific.
Yeah, well, because I see it in Down syndrome a lot.
Yeah.
And not because of the diet, but maybe because of the absorption.
Right. That's the other thing. Right. And then the absorption, well, you know, you've got to fix the diet in order to get the absorption to work, because there's so many things that compromise the integrity of the digestive tract. So if that's the case, you know, you would be looking for, you want to go beyond just, okay, supplement with this stuff. You want to go beyond, well, why are they low? Is it because they're not getting enough? Or is it because they're not absorbing enough? Is it because their immune system's compromised? Their gut is compromised? So there's all those factors that go in. We're always looking at a multifactorial approach and always looking to go to the foundations. I mean, sometimes it's as simple as they're eating under stress and not producing enough digestive enzymes, they end up with leaky gut, or they're not producing enough bile because their liver's congested because they're exposed to toxins, or a lot of the kids can be on various medications, and adults too, that are compromising their liver, and it's important to have good bile function to be able to absorb your fatty acid and your fat-soluble vitamins. Make sense?
Okay, that's great, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, so that was Sequoia. So who is it that said my blood work showed a high percentage transferrin saturation and total iron, but a low ferritin? Could this have something to do with, oh, that's Laura. Okay, could this have something to do with vitamin A and its correlation to iron? I mean, it certainly can, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we'll talk a lot more about iron saturation and all that when we do our minerals in a couple of weeks. But I would say you certainly want to look at that because it's so often overlooked. It's so often overlooked. So it's certainly worth a try to look at. All right, let's see what other questions have come in. Okay. Yeah, Lynn wants to know what vitamin A supplement do I recommend. Yeah, really, I looked long and hard last night to see if I could find one that was a pure, you know, whole food type of a supplement. And really, I didn't find anything other than cod liver oil. I mean, even some of the products that are derived from fish oil, they also had other stuff in them. I like liquid. I like micellized liquid. The one I've personally settled on for myself is the Seeking Health micellized vitamin A. Metagenics used to have a micellized vitamin A and they stopped carrying it. So I was looking for that. Now that is retinol palmitate. So it's not the natural form. It is synthetic. So that's not ideal, right? So, you know, in terms of vitamin A, probably your best source is going to be cod liver oil. But then you have to be careful that you don't overdose on it. Let's see. Yeah. Yeah, Seeking Health is the one that I use. Okay, any other questions before we move on to vitamin C? Are we good? Okay, let me stop the one recording and we'll put them on the recording page. All right, so this is a recording of vitamin C questions. Let's see. What do we have? So vulvodynia is often treated successfully with pelvic physical therapy. That's a side note for Beverly. Yes, and the combination of the low oxalate diet adds to that. So yeah. Anybody know why Health Force Fruits of the Earth is no longer available? I didn't know it wasn't. I know they have their truly natural vitamin C though. And then we have Mia, who just came on the line. Hi, Mia.
Hey.
Hey.
So my question is, can I ask my question?
Yes, absolutely.
Great. So with the vitamin C flush, I'd like to know, like, let's just say you get up to a few hours and you've now taken 5 grams. So wouldn't there be a lag time between, you know, like, what if the max amount was actually 4 grams and then you had this, you know, this blast of, evacuation, but you've already taken another gram. Like, how do you know exactly
what... Yeah, so it's you take 75% of what you got to, because it takes into account that lag. Yeah, so you don't take the amount. So say you got up to 10, you'd take 7.5. If you got up to 5, you'd take, like, whatever. Yeah.
I missed that detail. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Great. And would that mean per day, like, let's say you got up to, the 75% is 5 grams. So would that be 5 grams per day or per day?
Yes, it would be 5 grams per day, preferably in divided doses. I mean, the ideal would be 5 times 5, but vitamin C will last for about 6 hours in the body. So if you're taking a dose in the morning and a dose at night, you're going to have some hours in there that you're not covered. And whatever is not used up is going to get excreted. So really, if you divide it by 6, then you'll know how many times you should take it. Like, right? So, well, you're going to be sleeping for part of those hours. So you cut that out and then you divide your day so that you know no further than 6 hours apart. Does that make sense? So for example, if it's 10 grams, right? And say you go to bed at 11 o'clock and you get up at 7 in the morning, right? So that's you sleep 8, you're up 16 hours. If you divide that 16 by 6, that's going to be 3. So 3 doses would be good, right? So in general, 3 doses works really well. Ideally more, because you don't want to have that trail off at the very end. You don't want to go to nothing. But say 3 doses a day, then you'd take that 10 and you'd divide by 3 and you'd be taking 3.3 each time. Make sense?
Got it. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. No problem. No problem. And one thing about doing the calibration is I usually recommend that people don't like to start with too much just because, you know, they don't know how they're going to react. But if they've already done a calibration, then they could start with the higher dose. So you could actually start with 2 grams and do it every 15 to 30 minutes. If you've gone 2 hours and you still haven't reached the flush point, then I say double the amount you're taking and double the frequency you're taking it. So, because you don't want to be doing it over an 8-hour period. It'd be nice to have it finished in 3 or 4 hours. Makes sense? Yeah. Great question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. All right. So... what is the best source of vitamin C to use for the flush? Great question. I forgot to answer that, but the document that I gave you, the one that's on this page, and also you'll find it on your site. Here we go. Yeah, that'll explain to you. But I like the PERC one because the PERC one is the only one that I know that that says that it's fully reduced. I mean, you can certainly use other buffered formulas, but I use the PERC one just because I trust it and the person that developed the process, Dr. Russell Jaffe, created that for that purpose. I found it to be the most effective. That's what I use. But you can use a buffered C. I just wouldn't use pre-ascorbate for it. Not at all. The best price you found for PERC and for liposomal. You know, for me, where I get my PERC is I get it from Emerson. I have a wholesale account on Emerson. So I get it there, and it's pretty decent price. I don't remember what it is, but I buy the big bottles of it, the 16 ounce. You can also get it on Pure Formulas if you don't have an account. But if you don't have an account yet on Emerson, I'd highly recommend that you try to get one. They generally want to see some sort of certification, and if they don't let you do it, then let's take that on and see if we can get Emerson to give us accounts for everybody. But I know, you know, I think Tracy was able to get it. Cassandra was able to get it. Who else said they were able? Laura. I mean, a number of you have been able to get accounts with Emerson, and Emerson will give you 50% off as a wholesale price on most stuff. The liposomal, Lynn just posted, Live On Labs is good. And those are individual foil pouches, so they're really nice for traveling. And then the other one is Seeking Health has it in a bottle. There's no difference in the price per serving between buying the big bottle or buying it as the little packets. And Lynn just put up the Emerson Ecologics. It's just emersonecologics.com. And you just call them and set up an account, or see if they may have it right online where you could set up an account. Any other questions? Are we all good? Yeah, we'll try to get in there because, you know, those of you who haven't been to IIN, or, you know, nurses, it's obvious, it's easy. If you've been to IIN, I think they accept that. But we'll see about that because I'd like to see if you can get that. Steph, were you able to get an account with them? IIN doesn't always work for Emerson. Interesting. Okay. Well, we'll see what we can do. We'll see what we can do. All right. Thank you. See if I can get sub accounts or something like that. All right. Any other questions? All right. So we're going to take a break. We've been at it for almost 4 hours. We're supposed to go till, what time is it now? Almost three here. We're supposed to go to five. does anybody need a half hour break or is a 15 minute break long enough? Tony says loving this. Great. I'm happy to do a half hour. I may need 20 minutes as opposed to 15 just because I need to get the next presentations queued up. So does anybody have a preference between a 20 minute break and a 30 minute break? Take 30. Okay, let's take 30. That's good. That'll help me to get ready for the next piece. So we're going to get back together at what my 3:20, and then we'll go straight to 5, I guess. 3:20. Yeah. So my 3:20, which is 1:20 on the West Coast and 4:20 on the East Coast. Okay, we'll see you at 3:20. Liposomal. You can get a wholesale account on the liposomal. I don't know. You can check Emerson to see if they have it. And you can try Seeking Health because they have a wholesale account, so you can get a little bit less there. I don't know about contacting Live On Labs. You might be able to contact Live On Labs. You may have to buy it in like 10 boxes at a time, but you might try that. I haven't looked on Emerson to see if they have any of the liposomal. All right. Thanks, guys. About testing. Can I repeat my protocol for the acute viral infection, the vitamins and amounts? Yeah, so I would do C, and I personally just do C to bowel tolerance. If I've got something that's kind of coming on, or if somebody's really in that stage, I would have them do at least a gram an hour.
and maybe even more of the vitamin D, vitamin C, buffered or liposomal. And then for the D, you can do 100,000 for up to 3 days. And vitamin A, same thing, 100,000 for 3 days. And I also would include in there, things like echinacea, Oregon grapefruit, garlic, oregano, all the antimicrobials. Now, I would say that I personally don't do the A and the D when it's just a little tingling in my throat and I'm trying to get rid of it. That would be more like, oh my God, this bad thing just got hold of me. I'm sneezing, I'm coughing, I'm dripping, low energy. I want to knock this out quickly. So I wouldn't do it for just a light case of the sniffles. If I feel something coming on and I want to get rid of it, my protocol is vitamin C, 1,000 every hour. Sometimes it's 2,000 every hour. Echinacea, golden seal. And no, I usually don't use golden seal because it's endangered, but I'll do echinacea and Oregon grape, oregano, zinc, sometimes colloidal silver. That's pretty much it. So let's see. What SNPs affect vitamin D? They're the VDR. There's a VDR TAQ, the VDR FAQ. VDR TAC, so it's TAQ, VDR, there's three of them, but there's three VDR SNPs. It's really obvious, VDR. Cool. Let's see. What else we have? Oh, okay. Thank you, Beverly. It's nice to have a physician's assistant. We also have Phyllis on, too. HAART is highly active antiviral and rifampin. Oh, and if rifampin is used in TB. Okay, so not something we're going to see a lot of. Steph, can we use Direct Labs? Sequoia, for Direct Labs, what Steph has done is gone across the border, but she lives in Vancouver, so she's a lot closer probably than you are. But yeah, you drive in to the other, and you have to give somebody else's number. Okay. Beverly says, I like the mineral sunblock in powder brushes. Oh, like it's makeup. It's the natural makeups. Yeah, and then... Anne-Marie Gianni just came out with a sunblock. That's actually, I bought some. I haven't used it yet, but I bought some because when she first came out with it, I think I got a sample or whatever. But that sounds like it's a good thing, too. It's very pure and very clean. Oh, Steph says, I wonder if my really low D had anything to do with my psoriatic arthritis. Could very well been. Beverly says, what was Dr. Prendergast's book on D? I don't know that it was a book. Let me look back on the other thing. It might have been a study. See, or it might have been quoted. Yeah, it was probably in the vitamin D, the sunshine vitamin. I think he was quoted in there. That's where I got the Prendergast quote. And the natural brands of sunscreen that I like. The Anne-Marie Gianni, and I think that there is, and there's this fairly waterproof because it does have some zinc oxide in it. Aubrey's makes some. They're not very waterproof, but they're good if you're just walking around in the sun, you're not going in the water. Okay, let's see. Okay, let's see. I had an allergic reaction to my K2 is what Steph said. Let's see. I decided to take the bottle until it's done. I think it'll last a month. I guess it will still be low after that. What K2? I think Thorne has a liquid K2, Steph. I don't, which K2 did you have an allergic reaction to? Wow. Her client with cancer had a 21 and client with ulcerative colitis had a 17 on the D. And that's Canadian. How do you do that? Let's see. I think you have to multiply. Well, I said multiply by, so you divide. Let me go back to the one. I can't remember the exact number. I just remember my U.S. ranges.
There we go. Yeah, to convert to standard international, multiply by 2.496. So if you were going to go the other way, you divide by 2.416. Yeah, let's see. Sequoia said she gets her K2 from Mercola. The doses are too high to be ordered direct in Canada, but consent to somebody in the U.S. and bring over the border. We talked about that. What else besides VDR would affect it? I don't know. There are probably other SNPs that affect vitamin D, but I don't remember off the top of my head. I know the VDRs for sure. Oh, yeah. Mia says, can you explain Mercola's 90% of weight in D? That would be if you've got swine flu. That's what he said, or a really acute, severe viral infection. So you take your weight, you divide it by 90, or take 90% of that, and then that's the amount you do in IUs. So if you weigh 100 pounds, for example, you'd take 90. If you weigh 200 pounds, you'd take 180. Oh, so Steph did one of those raw, so it's probably the vitamin code raw K2. And it may be, my guess is that there's something else in there that you were having a problem with. Yeah, really sick only, not like general. You just don't want to do that for any length of time. Yes, 90% times 1,000. Sorry, I wasn't clear on that. Yeah, vitamin code. Yeah, my guess, because there's so many other factors in those vitamin codes, that it's something, it might have been the Saccharomyces boulardii that they grow things on. It could be some of the other things that are in there. But I think vitamin, yeah, we'll talk more about K when we do our next presentation here, but the different types of K. All right, any other questions? Let's see if there's any hands up. I don't see any hands up. Put up your hand, 1, 2, or 3. And Lynn mentions Nadine Artemis's sun protection using essential oils. That's great. Okay. All right. So I will stop this recording. Okay. Let's see. Here we go. All right, so we have a hand up from Laura. So Laura, I'm gonna go ahead and open up your line. Oops. Hang on, it's not opening. I have to scroll over. All right, there you go, Laura. Hi. Huh, I thought I had you open. Laura, you're open. No, maybe you're on mute.
Hello?
Oh, there you are.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. I was wondering what your thoughts were on recommending green smoothies for clients after surgery and like blood clot risk.
You know, I personally think that I think it's going to be fine because and again, you have to, it's always done with a disclaimer, right? I personally would do it, have done it. The first thing I drank after having a surgery was green juice. It's really hard. You don't cause clots by having large amounts of K. I just don't think it's going to be a problem. But again, you'll have to have them discuss it with their doctor. Yeah.
Lots of green smoothies and after surgery and was taking a course about like nutrition pre and post surgery, and it was just interesting. I would get a lot of questions or people that really were concerned about, oh my gosh, you shouldn't eat leafy greens after surgery, and I was like, but they have so many health benefits.
I know, and it's really sad that oh, I know. And it's just sad because these doctors who have like, you know, an hour of nutrition training, And all they get are these highlights like, stay away from green leafy vegetables with people with blood clots or have surgery. And they get these like snippets of information that are just, they just don't make sense in light of the big picture. So it's, I know. And then people get scared, and you really can't, you just can't help somebody to go against their doctor's orders. That's dangerous. So I know it's very hard, very hard.
And I have one more question, but it might be out of the scope of this. It's related to the APOE variation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like you had mentioned, I had looked it up because I was just curious. Mine was, it's yellow. It's positive slash negative. So would that mean, it's not red, I don't have positive on both sides, but would it be better for me to watch the fat intake and kind of be cautious with that, like related to preventing Alzheimer's and those types of things?
Usually they'll give you the number, they'll give it to you in terms of 22, 23, 33, 34, or 44. It's the 44 that is got to be really careful, and that would be the red. And I'm not sure, you know, without looking at your thing and how they're laying it out, but I recall on mine seeing that it was like a, I think it was a 2-3, so it was a really low risk one. But the 4-4 is the one that you have to watch for. And if you're yellow, it wouldn't be a 4-4.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. There's a good book called The APOE Diet that talks a lot about that. So if you're interested in going deeper with that. Yeah. All right. So that's Laura. Anybody else on the phone want to raise your hand, ask a question? Let me see. All right, let's see what we have. We had a couple of them here. Oops. Somebody keeps putting, stop writing. If you're going to write anything in, write it in the one on join me right now, because I'm trying, this one keeps popping away from me and I can't read them. So give me a second. Okay. There you go. Beverly has the mnemonic for clasts, clobber, blasts, build. So that's how you remember the osteoclast versus the blasts. Clasts, clobber, blasts, build. I like that. Lynn says, because older adults are at risk of osteoporosis and hip fracture, the above recommendations for a multi-mineral and at least one dark, the above recommendations? What's the above recommendations? Multi-mineral supplement, at least one cup of dark green. I mean, one cup of dark green leafy vegetables is minuscule as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you know, I get that in my first 8 ounces of smoothie or juice in the morning. So I think that that's pretty minimal. I think people should be getting 10 cups, you know, 6 to 10 cups of green leafy vegetables a day minimally. So it's very low. The amount that most people eat in terms of green vegetables, it's really sad about the recommendation to watch the K, watch it when you're doing the Coumadin, is that the amount that most people eat is so minuscule that it wouldn't do a darn bit of good. Right? I mean, yeah, I'm eating like 20 cups a day probably of green leafies. That might have an impact. But the little amount that most people are eating, and then they're told not to eat it. So then they'll eat the hamburger and the bun without the lettuce, right? Or without the salad, or without the broccoli, or without the kale. And their amounts are so minuscule, it wasn't going to make a difference in the first place. And then they don't get the nutrients they need to really build and get the anti-inflammatory going. And it's just really sad. So we just need to find a way to talk common sense. And hopefully more doctors are going to get educated about the nutritional components so they don't make stupid requests that say, get off of all green vegetables. It's kind of ridiculous. Let's see. Yeah, we're supposed to be finishing in 4 minutes, so that's why we don't have time for the E. And the E isn't finished, by the way. I looked through it, and it still needs a lot of work. So we're going to wait on the E. And I need to finish because I need to take my son to work. All right, so
More important pre-surgery because you don't know what they will give in while knocked out. Yeah. Recommend vitamin C to help with wound healing. Yes. The only thing you have to watch out for too much of before surgery would be your EFAs, because an NE to an extent, but most people don't take enough E, but they, because they are anticoagulant, and you can end up with thinning the blood too much and not clotting during the surgery. So I would watch for high doses of the EFAs. But even when I did my surgery not under general anesthesia, I was talking to the anesthesiologist about nutrients and what I could have and couldn't have before. And he said vitamin C right before. He even let me, even though they told me nothing by mouth, he let me actually take some vitamin C and some herbs right there in the room before we got started. So that was kind of cool. But he said don't take the fatty acids because they found that those can help. Those can make you bleed more. Okay. So Lynn just put the link in for the ApoE diet. Tony said she made sure her husband was loaded up on vitamin C and D before surgery and controlled his diet while in the hospital, brought fresh fruit daily. You know, the best way to deal with food in the hospital is do not eat it. It's usually complete crap institutional food. It's usually packaged. It's not going to be fresh. They don't even have fresh vegetables in there. So if you ask for a plate of raw vegetables, they couldn't give it to you unless they thought they were giving you raw vegetables by thawing the frozen stuff or pouring the stuff on a can and not cooking it. I mean, that's the extent of nutrition in a hospital. Although somebody did tell me just the other, a friend of ours was here and he had to have retinal surgery. And he said that while he was in the hospital, he said the food was phenomenal. It was like all fresh and just absolutely excellent. He was shocked. So I guess it's changing, but vitamin A definitely helps before surgery. Shonda said, thank you so much. Have to run out the door. This has been awesome. Thank you, Shonda. Have a great day. Thanks, everybody. I'm going to look to see up here. Oh, Cassandra, you're back. Yes. Cassandra said it's all crap food in the hospital, and some hospitals are changing. So hopefully more and more and more of them will. Phyllis said, yeah, it could be a problem if the person is on Coumadin and therefore anticoagulation might be inconsistent. Yeah, that's a good point. And that's why it's really important to pick the amount and stick with the amount and be very, very consistent on the amount of green leafies so that they can taper your dose. And they're going to be watching, if somebody's on Coumadin, they're going to be watching it with the fibrinogen and the prothrombin time, and they'll be adjusting the dose accordingly. So if you're consistent with the dose, then they'll adjust their dose accordingly. Thanks, Phyllis. Severely affected by father-in-law's coagulation. Great info. All right. Thank you, everyone. This is great. Let's see. They say 3 weeks pre-surgery stopping the EFAs. My client did this, but they still almost killed him with the blood thinners. I think probably that's overkill, and they should be learning how to manage their dosing if they're giving people blood thinners according to how much, you know, what their stuff, what's going on. So I think, you know, 3 weeks is probably a bit much. My anesthesiologist said 48 hours. He said just don't take EFAs for 48 hours. All right. Thank you guys so much for being here. It's been a joy, and I'm going to go run off and have a great rest of the day. For those of you who are moms, have a great Mother's Day tomorrow. For those of you who have moms, enjoy your moms. And for those of you who have moms in spirit, remember them and send them love. Thank you all. Bye-bye.